Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and we are tackling a difficult but necessary topic today. So if you have little children listening nearby, go ahead and get them occupied in another room, because our guest today will be talking about how to protect our kids from online pornography. Whether they accidentally stumble across it, or whether you've just discovered some pictures on your son or daughter's cell phone and you need to have that tough conversation, it can be a parent's worst nightmare. So what do you do? Stay tuned, because we have Luke Gilkerson with us by phone today. Luke works with Covenant Eyes, a company that helps families protect themselves from online hazards, and he's the general editor and primary author of the Covenant Eyes blog. So he's used to dealing with this topic every day. Luke, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us here on the broadcast. Let's talk about Covenant Eyes a little bit. Give us a little history behind Covenant Eyes, how it was formed, and the reason the ministry is still thriving today.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Well, there's a number of things to know about Covenant Eyes. First is really that it was started with a parent's heart. Our founder, Ron DeHaas, he was a concerned about his own teenage sons who were starting to use the internet. And this was back in the year 2000, and he was concerned about what he was seeing online, the types of material that was available online even then, and So he wanted to come up with a way that was beyond the traditional sort of filtering methods to really engage with his kids about what they were doing online and what they should be doing online. Mm-hmm. So what he did was he created this, sort of invented the notion of internet accountability, not just something that would block where he was going or where his kids were going online.
That's what we normally think about. We think about blocking software or filtering software, and that is something that you all do, but really what you do goes far beyond that, in its and it's very ingenious in the accountability component.
Right. The idea was, what if you as a parent or you as a friend to someone else could receive a report of everywhere that a person was going online in a given week with sort of a high-level view of not just a list of web addresses, but actually with dynamic ratings, where each website was rated for the objectionable content or lack of objectionable content on that page. It was based on an age-based rating, and was given to the parent. A parent's given this report for their child, or a friend is given this report for a buddy they have at church, or somebody, or something like that. And you have this list that's then sent to you in an email every single week. How would that impact how that user, that the browser on the internet, how would that impact the way he uses the internet? So if your child knows that they're being monitored, how does that impact the way they interact with the internet? If you know you're being monitored, how does that impact the way you're using the internet? Especially knowing that those are all, I mean, not only does it give you that kind of second guessing where you're going to click and where you're going to browse for, but then in the instance where questionable stuff has happened, where you've gone to a website you shouldn't have gone to, if someone knows the details behind that, and there could be really helpful and productive conversations as a result of it. So that's really how we started, was on that premise. How can we help families and individuals have integrity and purity and safety on the internet through the power of human relationships, people talking to one another and knowing what one another is doing on the internet?
Yeah, I think that's why it's so brilliant. It's brilliant in its simplicity. You say, I'm going to choose two accountability partners. And I always tell kids, make sure one of those is your mom. And they all say, why? I go, because you'd never look at something objectionable in front of your mom. And they all start laughing, because it's 100% true. If you're a husband, make sure your wife is one of your accountability partners. And that's what you all are doing. And it really is having miraculous effects on people that struggle in this area. A lot of people do. And keeping couples and families away from the dangerous material. If you never have to struggle with that, how great would it be for your marriage? So how did you join Covenant Eyes?
Well, I joined about 5.5 years ago. At the time, I was working as a campus minister at the University of Toledo. And, of course, my own story, which is a longer story, about my own real struggle with pornography, even not just as a man or even as a Christian man, but also as someone who was in ministry, in vocational ministry at the time. It was very dark years of my life, and But through the process that I was going through at that time, as the Lord was really sanctifying me and really bringing me through this very difficult time, a passion developed in me to want to get the word out to more people about not just the harms of pornography, but really that God wants to redeem our sexuality,
right?
In an over-sexualized and a hyper-sexualized culture. And so that passion started to develop in me. As that passion was developing, I also saw myself transitioning out of that ministry. And long story short, when I moved up into this area of Michigan, where I currently live, an opportunity or a job opened up here for this position. Right now, basically, I manage a lot of the educational resources here for Covenant Eyes. I run the blog, a lot of the social media avenues here, so trying to get the word out and communicate to people on a widespread level about what we do, but also, you know, writing ebooks and leading webinars and those sort of things. So a lot of what I do here is really focused on that education. Mm-hmm. How do we help people to understand not only the dangers of pornography on the internet, but also the means wherewith God has given us to escape from those things? What does that look like? And so, yeah, that's a lot of what I do here is to kind of applying that passion that I developed as a result of my own struggle, for the lives of others out there who are reading this material and want the information, want to be helped by it.
Yeah. Well, and you guys are doing a great job, and I so appreciate it, because when I need help, I know I can go to you all. I know I can go to you for for help, for filtering help, for accountability help, to help the people in our listening audience that struggle. You know, Luke, as I watch TV, it seems like, at the very least, softcore pornography or things that wouldn't get into necessarily the extreme are being placed in a light that says, oh, not only is this not really harmful, but in a lot of instances, this can be helpful. You know, you spice up your marriage and, you know, your sex life,
right,
things like that. That message obviously is such a huge lie. And I think when people really dig down deep, they understand, wow, that's not what I thought it was. But we're talking to people that live in Western culture. And so they are hearing those messages that this isn't really harmful. They're hearing that all the time. Talk a little bit about the dangers of pornography.
Well, where do you start?
Yeah.
I mean, let's just stick with some of the demographics, or let's stick with some of the statistics that we know about this. We do know, for instance, that in over half of it's about 56% of divorce cases that are coming through lawyers' offices today, that one of the contributing factors of the divorce is use of, and not just use of, but obsession with pornography, specifically internet pornography. We see this coming in through a number of other sources. Studies have been done. I can think of a particular body of research that was done back in the mid-80s. This was when video pornography was becoming more and more prevalent. People were going to video stores and renting stuff. And so this was a unique body of research, because this was in a day and age when the majority of people had not seen video pornography before.
Okay.
This was not, you know, was not commonplace. So studies were done about this, where they actually, a couple university professors actually exposed different groups of people to video pornography. You know, one was could be considered a massive exposure group, where over 6 weeks of time they were exposed to about 5 hours worth of video pornography.
Really? This was a study from a university?
Yes.
Wow.
And then another group that was like sort of an intermediate group that was exposed to about half as much pornography. And then there was a control group that wasn't shown any at all. And so they did a lot of this research, and then they asked a lot of exit questions and did a lot of exit review sort of stuff. And they found correlations across the board about how video pornography was impacting people's sexual attitudes and ideas. So, for instance, they found it was impacting people's understanding of, it was depreciating their view of marital sex and appreciating their understanding of premarital sex or casual sex.
Mm-hmm.
It was those who were shown more pornography were showing not only greater acceptance of premarital sex, but also devaluing the institution of marriage, devaluing the desire for children, the need for faithfulness in a relationship. People who had seen more porn were more likely to trivialize things like rape. People who had seen more porn were more likely to not endorse or not want to show support for women's rights. People who were shown more porn were more likely to believe that women around them, these just women they meet, were more likely to fit the sort of the porn stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
They were even, and of course, even then, they were more likely to want to see more porn. They were more likely to want to watch more porn or even harder forms of pornography. And that there were drastic differences, drastic correlations between this group over here that had a certain set of beliefs and this group over here that had another set of beliefs. And that was just over a six-week period of time. We're talking, that is, when you consider how much pornography is consumed today, video pornography is consumed today on the internet, we're not talking about, you know, a several hours of porn spread over a six-week period. You're talking about that spread over a day or a week. How much more so is that kind of study and that kind of research apply to today, where visual pornography, especially video pornography, is ubiquitous? So this is the kind of research that has been done.
Well, and we're so, talking to parents about their kids. So therefore, this is the correlation, which then does lead to causation. But the correlation, 5 hours of pornography over a six-week period, and faithfulness is decreased. They devalue women and the care of children and so many things. That's why we're bringing this today. That's why we're talking to parents to say, you have to protect your kids. And the studies, I mean, if you go to the Covenant Eyes website, the statistics that you have there really paint a bleak picture. The average teen is spending 31 hours plus a week online. 77% of teens say their parents don't monitor where they go. There's so many things. It's terrifying to see all the things kids are being exposed to, and that's why we say this is so important. Smartphones, tablets, computers, laptops, all of those things. Over a third of youth say they've been unintentionally exposed to pornography. That's a very important thing to think about. We're going to talk about it in just a second. 93% of boys, 62% of girls say they see internet porn before they turn 18. Over two-thirds of teens have cleared their browser history to show where they've been to make sure their parents wouldn't see where they've been. Before the age of 18, 83% of boys, 57% of girls have seen group sex online. That's a horrible thing to think about. These poor little children, these innocent little children, are being exposed to so many things, Luke.
Right.
I mean, as a parent, I know there's parents out there saying, I mean, what do we do? I'm overwhelmed. My kids know technology better than I do. What hope do I have of protecting my kids? When you talk to parents, when parents come in and or you're talking to them and they're like, well, I mean, is it really that bad? And you're saying, yes, it really, really is that bad.
Right.
What are we saying?
One is parents, we need to educate one another. I mean, yes, there are some of us that are certainly our kids are going to be more tech savvy than us in many instances, because they we grew, especially those who are growing up on one side of the digital divide, where you know I'm kind of on a cusp where I remember having internet in the home growing up as a teen myself, but it certainly was not the type of internet access that we typically see today with broadband and you know Wi-Fi, and of course now of course you have the introduction of smartphones and tablets and stuff like that.
Right.
And so there are levels of exposure to these things of you know just how ubiquitous the internet is in someone's life. But some of us are going to be more tech savvy than others. One of the first things we need to do as parents is we need to help and support one another and educate one another. So a parent should not just default to stupidity or inexperience. Saying, well, I don't really know how this stuff works. It is worth it to figure out how this stuff works because your kids are worth it. Yeah. Like, there's just, you don't, if you don't understand how a door locks, if you don't understand how to lock a door, that, you know, you don't just stare at the deadbolt and scratch your head and say, well, I don't want to try to figure that out. That
right.
just it looks too weird, little knob. I don't know how to turn that thing. Forget that. If someone breaks into my house at night or whatever, then, you know, so be it. No, you don't. You say, I'm going to do what I need to do mm-hmm. to figure that thing out.
Yeah.
Now, it's a silly example because everyone knows that deadbolt works. But really, everyone should understand, how do the parental controls on all these devices work?
Right.
And just set a basic rule for yourself that if you are not willing to learn it, to monitor it, to understand the controls for it, mm-hmm. if you're not willing to do those things, don't provide it. Just don't provide it for your kids.
Yeah. Let me add to what you're saying, too. This is also what I'm saying. It's worth it to be, quote unquote, that family. It really is. Yes, as your kids get to be teens
right.
and even preteens, all of your kids' friends are going to have smartphones or tablets mm-hmm. or laptops or computers in their bedroom. That's true. You will be that family. You'll be the different family. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it because we know how bad pornography is for kids, for adults, for everyone. It's worth it to be different. Well, all my friends, I understand, and I'm sorry that your friends have it that way. But in our house, we think this is important.
Right. And really, the goal of this is not to block out access to the internet.
No, of
this
course
is not the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's I think has to be really, really clearly communicated that mm-hmm. if as parents we are known by our children as being the ones that are always against something, if that is what stands out in their mind what are your parents like? Well, they're against this, that, and the other
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stand out as parents who are for something, and that means that we don't just tell them the internet is bad, and there's a lot of bad stuff there. We say, the internet has so many good things on it. It's just too bad there's so much bad stuff there, too. So let's figure out ways together, sit down together and figure out ways that we can use the internet in godly ways.
Yep.
And you can say the same thing about pornography, and specifically about the medium of pornography. It's not just to say that we're against pornography. Of course, they need to know we're against it, but why are we against it?
Yeah.
We're against it because we're for something.
Mm-hmm.
We're for the positive and healthy and lovely and wonderful expression of sexuality that's seen in marriage.
Right.
That is the reason why we are against this.
Yep.
If it's always about what we're against, they're going to miss what it's for, what we stand for. And quite frankly, the only way that if for our kids, the only things they have to choose between are pornography or nothing, then that's a pretty pitiful choice. But if our children have to choose between pornography and a positive, healthy, beautiful expression of sexuality that they can anticipate and understand, and even understand from a scriptural perspective in marriage, if that's the choice, then that's a much better choice to be looking at. There's much that can be said about that, of course.
Right.
But that is as passionately as we communicate as parents about the dark side of these things, we need to be communicating on a scriptural standpoint the positive side of these things. We have to, with the same level of passion, with the same level of intensity, we have to do that. And that's really just good modeling and good discipling of our children.
That's right. That's right. Also, parents need to know that in the same way big corporations that advertise during cartoons or children-based programming, those corporations have spent millions and millions of dollars on marketing. And part of that marketing is to talk to psychologists who say, you've got 30 seconds or you've got 60 seconds. And to create a need in a child between this age group, if it's 5 to 18, for your product, here's how you need to talk about your product. Here's the images you need to show of your product. And that in 30 or 60 seconds will create a need in a child who now wants that toy or product. That's what's going to satisfy that need. And
yeah.
The pornography industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the same thing. I mean, when you talk about the number of kids that have accidentally run into pornography online, I mean, over a third of kids have accidentally stumbled on pornography. That's because there is a marketing effort to get kids to look at pornography so they'll have a lifelong experience with it. And what we know, like my dad was on the Attorney General's Pornography Commission in the 80s. And as a psychologist, he understands the chemistry of the brain. And if you hear people talk about pornography, they'll say, oh, the first time I looked at pornography, it was this, because it's been burned into their brain. When kids are in puberty at that age, that preteen teen age, there's all these hormones going on. And when you put pornography in there, it burns that into their brain. And that's what we're trying to combat.
Right. And, well, yeah, I mean, if you go on to websites, say, you know, something like the Adult Video News or something, where these adult industry producers and tycoons are sitting around and they're talking about what they do on their websites and how they manage their websites. This isn't just a bunch of dirty old men sitting around talking about sex all the time. These men, these people who are running these websites are running businesses. And so they're talking about, you know, search engine optimization and how to design a website and what, you know, they're talking about specifics, and they're using, and get this is really key, they are using, they're reading the same psychology manuals that a counselor is reading when they're counseling porn addicts. They're reading the same manuals. They're reading the same research, and they're turning it over on its head and saying, if this is how people get hooked, we're going to design this website experience for someone in such a way that it's going to make optimal addiction. Mm-hmm. We're going to optimize our website so that this is the experience people have. I mean, this is, and the thing is, these are published marketing articles on these websites. This is what they're talking about. So, no, we shouldn't be surprised about this, because these companies don't make that kind of money putting up a bunch of dirty pictures. That's not what they're doing. I mean, they're doing far more than just that. They are marketing people who run their businesses like many Fortune 500 companies run their businesses.
Yep, that's right. Hey, Luke, we're almost out of time for today, but we are going to keep you around, because I know we've got a lot of parents that are thinking, oh no, and there's all this fear and anxiety that we've created, and I don't believe in that. We have a God that's all powerful.
Right.
So when you're talking to parents, give me a couple minutes on how to take away that fear. Here's what I want to tell parents, first of all. Covenant Eyes has done all the hard work for you. They really have. We will talk next time about the filtering software for smartphones, tablets, laptops, computers, all across the board. We're going to talk about accountability. We will give you those tools. You can be equipped. But from your point of view, Luke, when you talk to parents, how do we take away that fear? I don't want to be a fear-based parent.
Right. Well, the first thing you do is you remember the size of your God. Mm-hmm. Remember that he's a mountain-moving God, and that this may seem like a really big mountain, but it's nothing compared to who he is. So that's the first thing. The second thing I'd say is there are so many practical tools that have been made available to the church, made available to people at large even, in order to combat these things, some of them technological and some of them just common-sense kind of parenting things that are tools were meant to implement. And when you have access to those things, you can effectively not only protect your children from pornography, but you can also effectively prepare them for a world where they're going to encounter it, where they're going to be tempted by it, and where they can say no to it. It's not just that it's a pipe dream or something that's a wispy dream that's just out there that, maybe we might be able to raise kids like this. This has been done. Parents have done this. They continue to do this, and you can do it too.
You can. That's right. You absolutely can. It is scary, but you can absolutely do this. And I would highly recommend Covenant Eyes. I would also recommend listening to the part two of this broadcast as well, because we're going to talk more about this. And we're going to give parents the tools to take care of it in their own home. Luke, thanks for being here. I appreciate your work at Covenant Eyes. I appreciate your vulnerability on the program. And stick around. Let's do another day of this.
Thank you, Ryan.
And this conversation has been packed full of practical information. So if you missed any of it, you can go to drjamesdobson.org or the Family Talk smartphone app and get caught up anytime. Then post a link to it on your Facebook page or forward it to a friend. This is information all parents need to hear. Also, at our website, you can find a link to Covenant Eyes so you can find out more about what's available there. Again, we recommend their accountability software very highly and their filtering software. Luke's blog always has informative articles and information, so check that out as well. Finally, would you consider a donation to Family Talk? Protecting families and building strong marriages is the lifeblood of our ministry and the foundation of our country. So if you are able to help us financially, we really would appreciate it. You can donate online, on our Facebook page, via the Family Talk smartphone app, or if you want to call us, you can. Our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. Thanks for joining us, and tune in next time as we dig deeper into this issue and discuss how to talk to our kids about the dangers online. That's right here on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.